So when I am willing to forgive that person who meant evil against me, God, in his sovereign will, can turn what they meant for evil and bring about the greatest good in my life because of his sovereignty.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We will be hearing this evening the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's last message on lessons from the life of Joseph. This entire series is available for viewing or listening on our church website, www.gcafamilychurch.org. This evening's message is taken from the Genesis account of Joseph's interaction with his brethren after the death of their father, Jacob. Its lessons are powerful and personally challenging. In the earlier part of this message aired last week, we heard Pastor Grant list some common misperception about what forgiveness means. He then pointed out some features of what biblical forgiveness does mean, and that is where our broadcast this evening picks up. Pastor Grant's main text is Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. So we invite you to follow along as Pastor Grant finishes his message entitled, The Power of Forgiveness. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Listen, forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness is not repeating the matter. But third, forgiveness does not wait on confession. Look with me, Genesis 15, and verse number 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus shall you say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Please forgive them. Listen, Joseph's brothers did not confess. They fabricated a lie. Did you see that? It was a total fabrication. They said, now that daddy is dead, you know, Joseph has been acting real nice to us, but now that daddy is dead, them boy, you know, Joseph will act up. After all, he's prime minister in Egypt, and we're like dogs. He can do anything he wants to us. Let's tell him what daddy said. Let's blame it on daddy. He's going to want to do what daddy wants. So let's make... Oh, daddy said that way. Listen, if Jacob had something to tell Joseph, he'd have told him himself, because Jacob was quite alive and kicking for several years in Egypt with Joseph. He had all the time in the world. Listen, this was a fabricated lie. Listen, there was no confession, and yet Joseph decided to forgive his brothers. Confession is important. And that's why I believe many Bible teachers insist that forgiveness requires confession. But it's clear there was no confession here. And listen, but without confession, listen to me good. If there's no confession, it's going to be very difficult to restore a relationship. And we're going to come to that in a minute. Confession is not critically important to forgiveness, but it's important to restoring a relationship. And so here's the point that is important. I can choose to forgive somebody who didn't even confess. It's good. You know why it's good? Because some of the people that you need to forgive have died. Some of you sitting right here are still angry at some people who have died. You don't have an opportunity for them to confess. But right now, you need to forgive them. And you can. And we'll get to that in a moment. You can choose to forgive them. You can ask God's help that you can forgive that person. No matter how brutal and rough they were to you, you can choose to forgive that person. And I thank God I don't have to wait for the person to confess. And listen, there's some folks who are very much alive, and you can choose to forgive them. Listen, if we don't forgive, we're going to lose God's blessing Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. We're going to put it on the screen for you. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Aren't you glad they don't have to confess? Because if I had to wait on people to confess before I forgave, I would miss out, because God has already said he will not forgive me if I won't forgive the others. And so this morning God is speaking to all of us. Because I believe seated in this audience are several individuals who are harboring thoughts of unforgiveness against somebody, perhaps a friend, perhaps a relative. There is something, perhaps somebody who hurt you very, very badly. And it's, in some cases, it's deeply ingrained. It's deeply embedded. But this morning, God is calling on us to forgive. You know, Amber Geyer, this has been in the news recently. She was a white police officer in Texas. And she was recently tried. I think most of us know the case. Anybody remembers that case? She was tried for killing a man. She's a white police officer. The man was black. His name was Botham Jean. He was killed in his home. And after her sentence was announced, the dead man's brother shocked the court when he told her, "I forgive you." And then he said something. The media tends to leave this part off. Here's what he said. "My main desire is not to see you go to jail, but for you to give your life to Christ." Did you know he said that part? That part is usually left off. And then he said to the judge, "Is it okay to give her a hug?" I saw the hug. Did you see the hug? You know, his actions have been heavily criticized. Oh, sadly, even among Christians, I've seen it on the Facebook, how many Christians have criticized him. Some of them because they felt the sentence was too light. But I want you to realize that what happened in this courtroom is one of the most powerful lessons in forgiveness that we have seen for a long time. This lady caused the death of his brother. And he may have also felt like you that the sentence was not adequate, but that did not factor in. He said, because God is involved, he says, listen, as God worked on his heart, he said, "I choose to forgive you." And I'm going to ask you, my friend, who are you going to choose to forgive? Listen, this young lady did not confess anything to him. In fact, she took a position that it was an accident, which, hey, is not for me to know. I wasn't there. Listen, neither were you. Regardless of what the facts are, this lady did not confess, and this man showed what God is all about when he says, "Forgive everybody, whether they confess or not." And I'm going to ask you this morning, my friend, who is it that you need to forgive? Who is it that has not confessed to you, but this morning you're going to be willing to forgive because of Jesus? Fourth, forgiveness is easier when we recognize God's providence. Genesis 50:20 again. "But as for you," Joseph said, "you meant evil, but God meant it for good." No, listen. Joseph's brothers were fully responsible for their wicked actions, but Joseph realized that God had turned their evil into good. And I'm so glad that my God frequently works good out of tragedy. And I'm here to be, I'm a witness, because I've had cases where God has turned what people meant for my destruction, and God turned it around to my good. I wonder if I have any witnesses in the house. So when I realize that God can turn what people meant for evil to my good, I am willing to forgive. Because listen, until I forgive, God ain't doing diddly. But when I am willing to forgive that person who meant evil against me, God in his sovereign will can turn what they meant for evil and bring about the greatest good in my life because of his sovereignty. My brother and my sister, keep that in mind as you weigh. Are you going to this morning do the right thing or not? Weigh very carefully that God is to turn the meanness, the abuse that somebody did to you, that God is strangely able to turn it into good. So let me quickly go to the power of forgiveness. We have looked at some misconceptions. We have looked at what forgiveness is. But the message title is the power of forgiveness. Can I just quickly share with you three aspects of the power of forgiveness before I sit down? Number one, it frees us from being imprisoned by our anger. You know, in Genesis 45, verse number 3, we read this. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, he said, does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said to them, this is when he's first revealing himself to his brothers. After 20-something years, here he is, and he's revealing himself to his brothers. And he said, I am Joseph, your brothers, whom you sold into Egypt. But don't be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Isn't that powerful? Joseph had been freed from prison. Oh, he was really in prison. But the bigger prison, he was imprisoned by anger. But Joseph, because he had forgiven his brothers, he had been freed from the prison, a self-imposed prison.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, psychologists tell us that one out of three persons has experienced physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. Did you know that? It's one out of every three. So I know, in a congregation of this size, there are several people who have been abused. Some of you have been physically abused, some of you are sexually abused, some of you have been emotionally abused. There are folks here who have been abused. And they tell us that most people who have been abused are ashamed to talk about it. And so they live imprisoned by anger. Not only anger at the person who did it, but anger at the person they believe should have protected them. What a tragedy it is that we live in a world where some moms don't protect their child from being sexually abused by some man because they're afraid that if they protect the child, the man will leave them. Do you know that actually happens? Have you been abused? Until you forgive, the perpetrator will have you imprisoned. I want you to hear me real good. Until you come to a point where you're willing to forgive your abuser, the perpetrator is going to have you in a prison. You see, the story of Joseph is very, very relevant to today. Because Joseph was abused. He was abused by his brothers. I read the verse for you already in Genesis 42, 21, where his brothers said, we saw the anguish of his soul. Didn't I read that verse already? Oh, I didn't read it? Well, let's read it. Genesis 42, 21. I thought I did, but let's read it. Genesis 42, 21. Here's what his brother said. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul. Did I read that verse before? When he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. Wow. Joseph was abused. Joseph was a victim of human trafficking. Did you realize that? Today there are all these people who are being trafficked a slave for slave labor or for sex reasons. Joseph was a victim of human trafficking. He was sold as a slave. He was sold as a slave by his own brothers. The perpetrators were his own brothers. His brothers saw him begging. They said, in anguish of soul, just imagine the drama that must have been going on that day when Joseph is begging and pleading with his brother and he's crying. And they're physically manhandling him. Sometimes we read this story and we miss the drama. This is not some clean, antiseptic story. It's a story full of rage and mess. As the brothers manhandled him and brutalized him, and he's begging, and they throw him in a pit, and then they sell him. First, they wanted to kill him. You're here this morning, my friend, and like Joseph, you have been abused. You were abused, and you've been locked up in prison because of what they did to you. I want you to follow what Joseph did, because listen, you can learn. God has a message for you this morning, because no matter who abused you and why they abused you, God wants to free you from your prison today. Joseph forgave his brothers. Oh, hallelujah. Joseph chose to forgive. And so as the story ends in Genesis 50, where we read it, we find Joseph telling them, the same guys who abused him and threw him in the pit, Joseph is saying, I'm going to take care of you. Oh, last week, you remember we saw where Joseph said his brothers, go home and tell daddy that I got things taken care of for all of you. Daddy, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, I'm going to take care of everybody. I'm going to give everybody land. I'm going to give everybody food. Despite what everybody did to me, I'm taking care of everybody because I'm no longer in prison. So what are you going to do today? Are you going to stay in jail? Are you going to allow God to free you as you decide to forgive? That person may be dead. Are you going to forgive them? You know, after Brant Jean, that's the name of his son, had forgiven the policewoman who killed his brother, his mother said something that I thought was unbelievable. This lady was a theologian. Can I quote to you what she said? You may as well say yes, because I'm going to quote it anyhow. Here's what she said. Brant, I'm so proud of you. Your load is lighter. And then hear her. Regardless of the views of the spectators, walk with God always. This is mommy talking to the son. And here's the sweet part. Where does she learn? She says, forgiveness is for the forgiver. And it doesn't matter what the forgiven does with it. Well, I hope you'll write that down. Can I read it to you again? This lady, who ain't no PhD, I don't know what level of education she has, but she loves Jesus. And here's what she said. Forgiveness is for the forgiver. And it doesn't matter what the forgiven does with it. You may forgive somebody and they choose to act like a fool. Forgiveness is for who? For the forgiver. And my friend, this morning, if you would choose to forgive, something dramatic is going to happen in your life. God will free you. You will be freed from the prison that you are in. Amen? Forgiveness greatly benefits the forgiver. May God help us this morning. But second, forgiveness restores relationships. It restores relationships. And I have already read Genesis 50, 21 to see how Joseph, what he said to his brothers, despite what they had done, he was willing to restore relationships. You know, sometimes we say, we've been so badly hurt, we said, although I'm forgiving you, we will never be friends again. Be careful how you say that. No, don't get me wrong. There are some friendships that are so toxic that after you've forgiven them, you need to kick them off the boat. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Some friendships are so toxic, It was a bad thing all along. They've been dragging you down. They've been dragging you down. They've been pulling you away from God. Every step they're pulling you away from God. You don't need that friend who's constantly pulling you away from God. But be very, very careful how you make a decision that I will forgive you, but we will never be friends again. Might I suggest that unless it's a toxic relationship, that you leave the results up to God. Because God's ultimate desire, you know, he has given to us, the Bible says, the ministry of reconciliation. God is in the business of bringing people together. So don't listen to anyone who tries to encourage you to harbor bitterness and anger and revenge. It is not God's way. God is a God of reconciliation. He has given us that incredible ministry. But as I said before, it is not going to happen if somebody decides, I am not going to confess. Somebody here this morning, listen, so some folks need to forgive, but there's some folks who need to do some confessing. There's some folks here who need to come to somebody. Somebody, when you go home tonight, somebody needs to call and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Listen, but confession restores relationship. The power of forgiveness, it restores relationship. And finally, it restores fellowship with God. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel really quickly. Mark's Gospel chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. And whenever you stand to pray, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Oh, did you see that? Don't play with God. This business of forgiveness is serious. And if you are harboring unforgiveness in your heart, you may not even realize it. Your relationship, your fellowship with God is broken. You think
all is well with me and God.
It ain't. He ain't forgiving you some of your stuff. You can pray up and keep praying all you want. And so this morning, God is saying to somebody here, it's time to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad God is a forgiving God? You know, just over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came on a mission of forgiveness. He was born as a virgin of the Virgin Mary. He walked around doing nothing but good. Healed the sick, he raised the dead, he fed people. But at the end, we turned against him. You know, we didn't like his doctrine. Because his doctrine was a doctrine that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It was a doctrine that said we are sinners in need of forgiveness. So we said, we don't want him. Crucify him. But oh, I'm so glad that as they were crucifying him on that cross, as we beat him and pulverized him and whipped him, I'm so glad that from that cross, he said to his Father, Father, what? Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He had come on a mission of forgiveness. I was only 9 years old when I received his forgiveness, and it changed my life. And today God is speaking to somebody here. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never yet received the forgiveness that saves, the forgiveness that transforms. You see, it's one thing for us to forgive, but wow, what a wonderful thing it is to receive God's forgiveness, to know I'm clean with God, but I can't get it until I'm ready to confess. And this morning, somebody needs to come and say, God, I admit I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. Please save me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.